You're listening to ESPN 100.3 FM, KLRZ, La Rose, New Orleans, and the River Region.
It's the Sports Hangover with Gus Kattengill.
Hello, sports fans.
Well, hello there.
Local sports, national sports. The GCAT has got you covered.
Oh, you made a wise choice, my friend.
Time to tee it up and let it fly. It's the Sports Hangover with Gus Kattengill.
Check it out, Joe. All right, let's have a little bit of fun. Teron Armstead, I think he's injured. I'm getting a lot of them. At ESPN Radio NOLA, 800-998-1003. Three players. One, two, three, and only three. You can sit on Sunday as the Saints take on Kyle Allen and the Carolina Panthers. What? Heinicke injured on IR, so Kyle Allen will get his first start Sunday in the NFL.
And there goes my jersey.
There you go. Way to go. There goes your jersey. Joey! I can't believe it took me an hour to congratulate you on the AFC Offensive Player of the Week, Baker Mayfield.
Thank you. Love the stare down.
How about that? Like, right? I loved it. Man, you see that first, you know, the last time they played the Bengals, he didn't want to shake his hand and chat. And on this time, staring at him. Staring at him.
He might have a job if he started him from week one.
Well, that's what I take out of it. I take out of it. He must have not believed in him and just been like, you know, there's some animosity, man, between those two. I love it. I mean, for that franchise, they need a guy like that, though. They need a guy that has some swagger that, you know, he likes being a Brown, for starters. You've had people that didn't want to go there, didn't want to start the culture of winning. 800-998-1003. Question of the day we're throwing out there. Give me three players only that you can sit. Able body, okay? That to me takes Teron Armstead out because I think he's injured. He wouldn't have played this week, I think, if he was week eight. So mine's Breeze, mine's Thomas, mine's DeMario Davis. The absolute three I don't want dressed, warm-ups, nothing. Sharif Eichek trying to do a loophole here. He says you can pull some players out after the first series or after the first quarter, but there's three you don't even want in uniform or going through warm-ups. Who are they?
Might have to change mine.
You want to change yours?
I might go Drew Brees.
Okay.
Michael Thomas.
Mm-hmm.
DeMario Davis.
Okay. Mike Triplett, ESPN.com, joins us to join into the conversation here. What you got going on, Mike? How are you this afternoon, man? Happy holidays and Merry Christmas to you.
All the same to you. You guys, it's funny. I'm in the middle of working on an underappreciated DeMario Davis story for tomorrow. But I wouldn't put him in my top three. You guys are showing him some serious love. I saw this poll earlier and figured you were going to ask me.
Yeah.
And I figured it's a four guys fighting for three spots in Breeze, Thomas, Kamara, and Cam Jordan.
That's
it. You guys are showing a lot of love.
Agree.
Put DeMario Davis in that group.
So that was originally, I had Jordan originally, Breeze. And I'm like, who do I choose between Kamara and Thomas? And so I started asking myself this question, Mike, and we'll bring you into my thinking here. You can help me decide.
I don't know if I want to go.
Because, well, here's the thing, right? I hear you. It's decimal, right? I mean, Kamara and Thomas. But I look at it as to more vital. If Kamara has to go tie his shoe and can't be in on a play, I have Ingram. If Michael Thomas has a helmet malfunction, has to be out a series while he fixes his helmet. That receiving core is severely depleted. The 11 catches against Pittsburgh and the timing and the type of catches. Mike, I need a first down. I'm going for it on fourth. That slant's unstoppable. I need that guy for the postseason, and I'm taking on a team that has nothing to play for. I don't need a hit coming across the middle for 15 flags. 15 yards. They don't care. So that's why I picked Thomas over Kamara, where I could play him a series, and then I can sit him. So I'm using the Sharif loophole here, where I can sit some
right.
players. But,
no, but
I'm
look,
talking about not suiting up in terms of not getting injured even in warm-ups.
It's a separate conversation, but for the ESPN Power Rankings we did this week, they just asked all of us to name the non-quarterback MVP for every team. And again, I found it to be a three-way tie between Thomas, Kamara, and Cam Jordan. And you could make a case for Shelton Jenkins or DeMario Davis this year, and if we're talking about who you don't want to lose, Marshawn Lattimore's got to be in that conversation because of the depth behind him at corner. But right. I chose Michael Thomas as the non-quarterback MVP for that reason. The drop-off behind him is huge. You cannot afford to lose Michael Thomas. They've struggled more than people realized they were going to at that receiver position, to the point where Ted Ginn Jr. became a savior coming back in this last game.
Right.
But if you lose Thomas, that position becomes really, really scary. You're right.
Yeah, 100%. And the guy has 1,376 yards, the 9 TDs. But to me, it's the safety blanket. It's the security blanket to me. I mean, everyone knows he still finds a way to do that. So I went there. So let's go to the other side, the Cam Jordan, because you and I have had discussion with him on how good he is, his value to the team. I almost think I can play him a quarter or series, and he can kind of take care of himself. Well, that's the problem. The thing is with me, with DeMario Davis, he does so much in other areas of the team. Not that Cam doesn't, but, you know, he's on one side. Yes, they can move up and down the line. DeMario's all over the field. DeMario is setting up deep. It's hard. I hear you. Again, we're talking decimals here, right, as to percentage-wise. But that's why I went DeMario, just because of that. And you know why the thing that slanted it? Manti Te'o's been inactive. Have at it. You know, I can put in somebody that started before and do something, and we'll be just fine. Go ahead and put Te'o in it. That's why I slightly lean to DeMario.
Well, what's interesting, and I keep wondering if we're going to see some transactions, because what they're really probably going to have to do is replace almost the entire offensive line, because those are the guys who've been banged up.
Especially so how do you do that? Bushrod's
not ready to play. Armstead's not going to be ready to play. You know, Unger had the concussion last week, but he's another one of these irreplaceable guys. I would say the same for Ramczyk. I'd say the same for Warford. I'd say the same for Pete. Pete's had injuries this year.
Yeah.
I think in an ideal world, you'd bench the entire starting offensive line, but at some point you run into a roster limit. And even if you have seven guys inactive, even if you say, all right, Breeze is inactive, Thomas is inactive, Mayer is inactive, Unger is inactive, Armstead's inactive, you're going to run out of inactives at some point. You're going to have to cut players if you want to fill out that offensive line. So some of these guys are going to have to play. I think it's going to be really interesting. I mean, obviously they haven't even confirmed yet that these guys will rest. But, man, if I had my druthers, I'd rest 10, 11 guys that you just can't lose, including all those offensive linemen. And that's just not mathematically possible. I don't see it, you know, you really can't cut a lot of guys off the roster to sign new offensive linemen either. So some of those guys are going to have to play.
Yeah, right. And that's the thing. I think we all are expecting the Teddy Bridgewater game here and to do that. Look, I don't need him warming up and stepping wrong during warm-ups. I don't need a wayward football popping Drew Brees in the head. You know what I'm saying? Like, he absolutely is a guy that's not in the jerseys, nothing. He's watching.
I do wonder, though, he needs 8 yards to get to
4,000.
4,000. Right. And, I mean, I'm not big into the numbers things. It doesn't matter that much, but, you know, that is one that I wouldn't rule out, especially as he's, you know, making an MVP case. And for, I think he's got the record for most consecutive 4,000-yard seasons. I wouldn't be stunned to see him come out there, play the first series, go off to a standing ovation. But again, you're sort of wasting an inactive spot if you do that. If he's not going to play, you probably want to make him inactive, because you need enough guys to be active for this game.
It's funny you say that, because that was going to be a question I'll throw you in there. Speaking with Mike Triplett of ESPN.com. Watching that Seattle game, okay, and I feel like, look, a couple of weeks ago, the new look passed. Everyone's like, it's Mahomes, 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 Mahomes. I thought Drew Brees played well enough to where in that game against the Steelers, you're sitting there going, aha, this is why the guy is the MVP, or back into it. And then you watch that Seattle-KC game where he made some mistakes. And you know what I'm getting at? I wonder if that Seattle game with Drew's Pittsburgh game, to your point, makes it a week, you know, 18 or week 17 decision here, to where if Breeze, even if he plays a series, they go score a touchdown. I'm with you, Mike. It's the last thing they see, you know?
Right. No, well, and they're not going to be watching this game either. I mean, think about who the voters are. And I think one of the reasons why Mahomes had a big advantage is not only when people stack their numbers up are they going to see that Mahomes threw for 1,000 more yards and 15 more touchdowns, but Mahomes' greatest moments have come on like Sunday Night Football and Monday Night Football.
Right.
A lot of these writers are probably doing their due diligence and watching film and watching highlights. But the only games they might be sitting down and watching are these guys are in prime time. And unfortunately, Mahomes was killing it in prime time, and Breeze struggled a little bit, especially at Dallas on that Thursday night game and at Carolina on Monday Night Football. And so I thought maybe, you know, Mahomes was going to run away with it. But then now Mahomes has lost two prime time games in a row. So he's come back to the field a little bit. So it might come back down to that sentimentality. You know, Breeze might be the quarterback of the 14-2 team. That's the number one seed. And,
bingo.
You know, the completion percentage, the highest passer rating, you know, everything he's done. So I think it is really too close to call, but I do not think anything that happens in Week 17 will change it for Breeze. If the Chiefs lose and they become a wild card team, then I think Mahomes is out.
That's what I'm talking about here. Chiefs right now have the edge on the Chargers. They're both 11-4. Chargers at the Broncos, Chiefs host the Raiders. So, you know, it's sort of like that too, but the Chargers and the Chiefs should win. Now, does KC play? I guess you have to, right? To play to win.
I don't know. It's a must-win game for them.
Yeah, no doubt. So, look, I'm with you. I think if the Saints, man, get that top seed, which they did, and the Chiefs fall to 5, it's hard to not give it to Drew. I think he
that
played himself
it,
back
do,
into a, an option.
Sure, yeah.
All right, final questions for you, Mike. It's real easy. When you look into the postseason here, you know, obviously it's the last thing that took place, so you saw a lot of people Tuesday morning, Monday, you talk about, hey, Seattle can come into the Dome and win. The Bears can come into the Dome and win. The Cowboys can come into the Dome and win because of their defense and et cetera and things of that nature. Having looked at it's an entirety of the season for the most part for the Saints here going into it, I thought that Pittsburgh game maybe taught me a lot to say, hey, you're going to have to come and play your best game or close to it to try to beat the Saints at home.
Yeah, it's interesting. I've been a little curious about their secondary. I wouldn't call it a concern, but it's been a question mark for me all year because they've been so hit and miss, especially beyond Marshawn Lattimore, that I would feel a little more confident in them if they had played better against, you know, Antonio Brown and Juju Smith-Schuster, but I think the only team that can really hurt them in that area is the Rams. I still think that's the most frightening opponent that can come in here because they do have the talent on defense, even though they haven't played great on defense all year. Mm-hmm. Those teams that have the great defenses, the Bears and the Cowboys, the way they've been playing lately, I don't know if they can score enough points in the Dome. I know we've seen the Saints' offense struggle in recent weeks, but at home, with all the firepower they have, with Sean Payton having time to plan and the way they're playing, I can't believe that anyone's holding them under 20 points in a playoff game at home. So the Cowboys and Bears are a little frightening, but to me, I still think the Rams are the most frightening possible matchup that they'll see.
And Mike Triple's the way to follow over on Twitter. Mike, thank you as always, man. Appreciate your time this afternoon.
All right, thank you.
There he is. There he is.
See how much I respect you? I don't butt into your show. I'll let you do your job.
You're more than welcome to, though. I mean, you're here.
I just like to talk. I don't like to ask questions.
No?
Maybe when Jay comes on.
He's coming up next. We'll talk a little Pels. How do you feel about the Pels, by the way? 4 straight losses.
Their record?
Mm-hmm.
Record says who they are.
15-19, taking on 15-17 tonight.
They are who their record says they are. See my tweet over the weekend?
No, here's the thing. I didn't. So I'll go check it out, what your tweet over the weekend is, unless you want to tell me what it is.
Somebody, you know, I forgot who wrote the story, but I tweeted, and it said, it says pretty much Anthony Davis cares more about legacy than money.
Oh, yeah.
Might have started a firestorm.
Mm-hmm. It's funny you brought that up, because we'll bring that up to you. Yes, now I remember, because I was saying the same thing. I'm like, man, he sure as heck isn't playing. I don't know, maybe I'm wrong to be as critical. I just don't think the AD that we've seen this year is anywhere near the AD we've seen the last 2 years. Am I wrong on that?
Nope.
Attitude, play on the court, it just doesn't seem the same.
He's not saying the wrong things, I'll tell you that much.
Right?
He's saying the right things, but
right,
his Clutch Sports is taking care of the other stuff behind the scenes.
Sports Hangover continues next on ESPN New Orleans.
Looking for a truck with attitude? Check out the Ram 1500 SLT Crew Cab 4x4 with over $11,000 off MSRP at the Big Finish event going on now at Southland Dodge, Chrysler, Jeep, Ram, Fiat, and Homa. Test drive today and you'll see why more people are switching to Ram than ever before. WAC excludes TT&L. Chrysler Capital Incentive must finance through Chrysler Capital. Non-prime bonus for 620 or below Beacon score. Truck owner Conquest must own competitor truck. Price is good on listed stock number only and good through 1-3-2019.
You Bet Your Boots footwear store has been in business since 1979. Looking to gift boots this holiday season? Their bestsellers are the Irish Setter, Two Harbors, and Marshall series. You Bet Your Boots also carries Red Wing, Irish Setter, Works, and Dan Post. Do you have foot, knee, or back pain? Try their corrective insoles and footwear by Spenco. Focusing mainly on the working man, they can also accommodate a casual fit in their Dan Post line. So shop until you drop at Bet Your Boots on Bayou Gardens Boulevard for discounts between 15 and 20%.
The best kept secret on the bayou is, well, it's Raceland Auto Center. The secret is, number one, they do the repairs right the first time. Number two is you don't need an appointment. Number three, they use top quality parts. Number four, they're honest and reliable. Number five, they sell most brand name tires. Number six, they're a bumper to bumper full service center. Number seven, they charge small town prices on repairs in comparison to dealership prices. Repeat customers always become family. Raceland Auto Center, Highway 308 in Raceland.
Your life is mobile. So is your bank. As a State Bank and Trust Company account holder, you can check your balances, view transactions, transfer funds, and pay bills anywhere or anytime with State Bank and Trust Company's online banking or mobility app. Call or stop by any State Bank and Trust location for all the details. State Bank and Trust Company, Cajun banking, served just the way you like it. Member FDIC.
Adventure, intrigue, mystery, romance.
It's a storm of entertainment that brings down the house.
Now, back to the Sports Hangover with Gus Kattengill on ESPN 100.3 FM and ESPN 1003.com.
It is your New Orleans Pelicans. They're up 36-25 in the first quarter against the Kings. Then both teams put up 33 in the second. In the third frame, Kings put up 28, Pels 27. In the fourth quarter, 36-21 another. In the second half, 122-117 in the final. Statistically, Sharif Eishak, AD 26 points, 17 rebounds, 4 assists, 2 steals, 4 blocks. His supporters will go, what more can he do? Jake Madison, Locked On Pels, joins us. At Nola Jake is the way to follow him over on Twitter. What's up, Jake? How are you?
I'm doing well. Thanks for having me on, you guys.
This is going to be an interesting conversation. There's so much we can go with this. All right. So Sharif over the weekend, he commented on what happened Friday after the Lakers loss. You know, clearly the media couldn't wait to talk to AD afterwards. And he said, look, legacy is more important than money. Sharif, you then said,
build your own legacy in New Orleans. Stop trying to be part of somebody else's legacy.
And then I just now went into the break saying AD from the last 2 years just looks different on the court than the AD this year. So is it just that overwhelming story that's kind of laying on the cloud, or am I wrong in saying that AD just, he's not playing like he did last year? Again, I get what I just read. I just read a stat line where it kills it. 26 points, 17 boards, 4 assists, 2 steals, 4 blocks. But they lost to the Kings and Buddy Hield with bananas on them. I don't know. I just, you get what I'm getting at here? While I'm rambling?
Yeah, no, totally. Look, there's a lot to unpack with the Anthony Davis situation. And the first and foremost is, if you're looking at kind of a list of problems with this Pelicans team, and there are many, he's not nearly at the top. Yes, is he kind of having a bit of a down year? Does he seem a little bit more disengaged? Do you feel like he could do more, particularly in the fourth quarters where he only took 5 shots in that game against the Kings, a game that was close that they were trying to win? Yeah, you'd want more from him there, but the big problems with this team are not anywhere near kind of laid at his feet or that he's responsible for. But you do have to talk about them because this team starts, it begins and ends with Anthony Davis, and if you can't get him going or if he's not going, that's going to be a problem. In terms of the, I think this is something, I've come on your show, Gus, for years now, and I've said this. he's hyper aware of his legacy in terms of the NBA overall, not necessarily just his legacy here in New Orleans, but around the league and in just the game of basketball, something he is very aware of, and he wants to go down as one of the best players of all time. And unfortunately, to do that, you need sustained playoff success. You need championships. And, you know, that's why there's talk about him potentially leaving, because he's probably wondering right now if he can kind of win those championships here in New Orleans. The way the whole situation's been described to me, people close to Anthony Davis, people with the Pelicans, is he wants an excuse to sign in New Orleans long term. And if it was a choice between winning a title in New Orleans or winning a title with the Lakers, he's going to pick New Orleans every time. But ultimately, at the end of the day, he's going to go where the titles are. And if he doesn't see a way to contention here, then he's likely going to be gone. But there's still time. The season's not over. They're still going to be making a move that maybe convinces him otherwise. But certainly it's not that he has one foot out the door. He wants to stay here. They just need to do a good job of proving to him that they can win titles.
Jake, what move is out there for them? I mean, everyone in the Western Conference outside the Suns are pretty much competing to get into the playoffs. I know there's some dumpster fires in the Eastern Conference. So what move that you think that they can make to keep Anthony Davis happy?
Yeah, you know, that's kind of the problem. Like you said, right now there's 14 teams in the Western Conference out of 15 in contention for the playoffs. So I think this is just one of those things where they've got to kind of ride out the storm just a little bit longer. No move that's going to really put you over the edge or is going to sell Anthony Davis on the long-term future of this team is coming in the month of December, and it's probably not coming in the month of January. And traditionally, when you look at the NBA, trades, big trades in December, in January, are actually very rare. It usually only gets active right around the trade deadline, the week or so before. So for that big move, it's probably going to be coming later. That also gives teams more time to kind of separate themselves out. Maybe Dallas starts losing a little bit more. Maybe Minnesota falls apart, and those teams become sellers rather than buyers as you get closer to the trade deadline, which opens things up a little bit more. Certainly, they need to add another point guard to this roster. Even when Elfrid Payton comes back, you'd like another veteran ball handler to hang with the second unit to go out there in second quarters in the start of the fourth quarters. I think that would be big. A wing who can maybe shoot. You've kind of got that a little bit in Nikola Mirotic, but a guy who can defend small forwards, who can give you some production from that position that's not named Darius Miller or Solomon Hill, two guys who haven't really been giving the Pelicans much at all, I think would be really big, and that would go towards solving a lot of long-term roster problems that they have, where it's just been kind of a wide-open gap at that position for what feels like almost 10 years now here in New Orleans.
Speaking of what almost sounds like 10 years, speaking with Jake Madison and Nola Jake, Locked On Pels. Speaking of what sounds like almost 10 years, it feels like every time they lose, it's fire Gentry or fire Dell Demps, right? I mean, it's just kind of what it is. For those fans that say that, okay, and we're because Sharice asking what kind of moves can they make. I would, you look around the league and I don't know, is it moves that another GM could make or a talent evaluator can do? Or, you know what I'm getting? Like, what would you do if I open up the position of general manager? What are you trying to do to help build the team that convinces AD to sit around, Jake? You know hoops as much as I do. So I guess for the folks that go, well, give me a new GM or the coach. I think the system works with this coach, with those players, when they play hard and they're healthy. It just does. So I'm not as worried about Gentry as I am about moves, right? Who makes what, players and contracts. So if I open it up, I'm Gail Benson, say, Jake, before I go look for a new GM, convince me as to why a new GM would work and what moves would you make? Like, what's your philosophy? Like Danny Ainge, they had a philosophy on what to do with Boston. I mean, what you see what Sacramento's doing, right? So I'm asking you, if you were GM for a day or you were being asked by the owner, if that kind of management is an issue, how would you fix it? What moves could you make?
Yeah, you know, so that's kind of the thing, though. You know, there's not really a lot of time here with the clock ticking on Anthony Davis to put in a brand new plan. I think if I were to, you know, hypothetically step in here, I'm probably going to continue doing what they've been doing, which is you got to spin these first-round picks into talented NBA players right now to do everything you can to keep Anthony Davis on this team. You can't pray for luck in the draft right now and get these guys. They take 3 years to mature and, you know, 3 or 4 years before they really start to help you win. you know, Buddy Hield is just coming into his own as an NBA player. It took 3 years to do so. You know, if you're getting that guy on the team right now in his first year, it's not helping you a whole lot and isn't going to sell Anthony Davis on the idea that he can win titles here. It's how do you compete with the Golden State Warriors? How do you compete with the Boston Celtics or the Toronto Raptors? And you've seen this team can beat all of them when they're healthy, when they're playing their style of ball. They did go into Toronto and beat the Raptors on the road. That is a very significant win right. for this team that kind of signaled to the league that they should be taken seriously. Going into Houston on opening night and blowing them out was a big win. Houston's rebounded their playing significantly better than they have to start the year. So there's quality wins here. It's just the little pieces, the little tinkering that they need to do around the edges. Something that Bill Demps, for his career here and the mistakes that he's made, has actually been good at is filling out those 7, 8, 9, 10, 11, 12 spots on the roster. Maybe not great at assembling the top 5 to 6 to 7 guys, but after that he does a good job. And I think it's just kind of, again, patient, waiting for the right deals to come along and pouncing when that's the case. I don't necessarily think making changes midseason is going to do you much of anything. You know, there isn't exactly a whole lot of success other than maybe one time with the Cavaliers where you fire your coach mid-season and then the backup guy, the new guy, comes in and leads you to a lot of success. I mean, look what's happening in Chicago right now after they've tried in the middle of a season to kind of instill a new culture. They nearly had a player mutiny. I don't think that's the way to go with this when this is kind of the ship that you've been on for so long. In terms of GM, again, a new guy's going to want to come in and maybe strip this to the ground and build it from the bottom up. You can't do that midseason. You can't even really do that when you have Anthony Davis. So I think that's kind of the big problem here.
There you go.
You know, the ship's going, and, you know, the people leading it are leading it, and that's just kind of what it is at this point.
And, you know, Sharif, before we get into your question, too, I mean, the thing is, as Jake's talking, too, you go and you go sign a guy, because we saw what Rondo said over the weekend, hey, if there would have been first to call, like, what? Elfrid Payton getting hurt, you just cannot. Now, I get it. I'm not saying it's the end-all, be-all. He's your starting point guard, and you've had him for none, essentially, of the first 3 months of the season. I mean, it's you can't replace that. When that's the guy you wanted to be your starter, that's the guy you wanted to push your pace and tempo to give the system. I mean, for him to not come back until, you know, second week or so of January, that's a killer, and I think that's really hurt this team.
Yeah, Jake, and to that point, yes, Elfrid Payton hurts. It hurts them not to have Payton on the court right now. But a $3 million point guard isn't the sole reason why they struggle. It's effort, energy, and depth. I mean, Jake, would you agree with me there that there's not much depth there? They needed to build that depth. I mean, you don't have the money. Some of the bad contracts that were given out over the years, no real draft picks. That's got to be a concern, too.
Yeah, look, what's kind of built Pelicans into this position that they're in has been over the course of a number of years. It's not just Elfrid Payton being out and the money that he's making. It goes back seasons prior. They want to bring back Rajon Rondo, and that's why they met with Elfrid Payton first. He was intended to be the backup, and then Rondo kind of bolted unexpectedly. They played their cards wrong there. Certainly they had the money to sign him to that. It seems like it maybe wasn't their number one priority. He felt hurt and left, potentially, based off the comments that he said the other day. And then, you know, if they do sign Rondo, they don't have Julius Randle because they signed him basically to a similar deal. That would have been a problem there, too. So it looks for guys like Solomon Hill, Omer Asik in the past, Alexei Ajinsa, even though those contracts are kind of now gone, that have hurt you in the inability to build depth that's led them to the position that they're in right now. And I think it's that lack of depth is the big thing. Yes, losing your starting point guard hurts. Losing Nikola Mirotic for these handful of games really hurts. But you see the Pelicans in these games late. They just are so thin, and guys are playing for 10 minutes and have fallen into such holes in the beginning because of that lack of depth, because they're down 40% of their starting lineup here in two starters, that all of a sudden they have to come back from 15 down. It's late in the fourth quarter, a close game. And they just don't have, you know, whatever's left in the tank to kind of get them over the hump. If you have Elfrid Payton, if you have Nikola Mirotic back, I'd be willing to see an increase in better fourth quarter play that might translate to a couple more wins for the Pelicans. But what's put them in this position now is not all of a sudden that they just got bad in crunch time. It's just they don't have the horses, they don't have the players, they don't have the talent late in the fourth when these guys are playing 40 minutes per game. If you build this team well from years in the past and you do have that depth right now in the season where you could sustain an injury or two like this, you still probably win some of these games. But those moves weren't made. You know, what's happened has happened, and it's kind of the culmination of a lot of things that have put the Pelicans in this position.
With that being said, Jake, with this schedule, a lot of tough teams, will it be too little too late when they are finally 100% healthy if they can't rattle off some of these wins?
Yeah, you know, you need to win now, and these losses do matter. I know a lot of people say, well, you know, the regular season doesn't matter. It's going to very much for this Pelicans team. Yeah. I think when they're healthy, if they're healthy at the end of the year, you're going to say that this team is better than their record indicates. That's a good thing when you think about it, being better than kind of what your record shows, at least at the end of the year, hopefully going into the playoffs. What that doesn't do you any good is when you're matched with Warriors, or a team like the Rockets in the first round of the playoffs, and you get swept out or you lose in five games to an Anthony Davis lead. You're better than your record indicates, certainly, but you also want to be the 4 or 5 seed, ideally, and avoiding that tough first-round matchup so you can get Anthony Davis some more prolonged playoff success. They don't start winning now. Even when they do get into the playoffs, it's not going to matter a whole lot because they're going to draw an unfavorable matchup.
Finally, it leads us to tonight, taking on the Dallas Mavericks, 15-17. They got a nice young player or two for sure to kind of keep an eye on, and by no means I ever sit there and look at the fact that, for some reason, especially over there, games are always tough. Even when Dallas is not winning and not having good seasons, games over there always seem to wind up being tough. What's some things to look forward to tonight and some things to pay attention to come tip-off at 7?
You're going to need a big game for Julius Randle in this one. DeAndre Jordan can be a problem on the boards. We've seen the Pelicans struggle with defensive rebounding, giving up a lot of offensive boards to opponents. We fooled them in that Miami game and a couple of others. You can't give a team that at times struggles to score easy second-chance opportunities. So keeping him off the board, getting big games from Anthony Davis, Julius Randle on the glass is going to be important. And finding someone who can slow down Luka Doncic is going to be very big, too. He's got point guard skills, but he's playing the small forward for this Dallas team. He can pass. He can shoot. He's going to kind of be all over. He's going to put an onus on guys like Solomon Hill, Darius Miller, because he has potential to go off for a big game. And he hit that massive buzzer beater the other night against Portland. One of the most miraculous, unbelievable shots I've ever seen in my life. So there's some matchup problems here, but New Orleans did take care of business against Dallas before. There is a decent matchup there for them. They don't really have anyone who can handle Drew Holiday. I think that's kind of be the big thing. If you get, you know, solid games from your guys, this one shouldn't necessarily be a problem.
Jake, can I come over to your house? You know why. I saw what you tweeted out.
Little holiday spirit.
We've been growing Sharif's taste for certain things over the past year or so. So we'll have to get you involved in some of these other ones, Sharif.
You have an amazing girlfriend for that.
Trust me, I will be the first person to admit I have the most amazing girlfriend for a number of reasons. So especially on Christmas with a couple bottles like that.
Yes, no doubt
about
it.
I'm crying.
And Nola Jake's the way to follow over on Twitter, Locked On Pels, the website and the podcast as well. You want hoops, that's where you go. It's that simple. Always a pleasure, man. Thank you for a little bit of your time this afternoon, man.
Of course. Thanks for having me on, you guys.
Yep, for sure. He's awesome.
I'll be texting him.
Stop it.
What?
What?
Perfect hair, perfect beard. Great whiskey suggestions. Jake Madison.
Some people just have it, man.
Yeah, Jake Madison.
That's what it is.
The man.
You know?
Knows a lot about basketball.
And I just like the Twitter handle. It's a great Twitter handle.
Nola Jake.
Nola
simple.
Nola Jake. Simple yet distinctive.
Jake's the man, dude.
No one remembers GCAT17. What is that?
Yeah. Sharif WDSU.
Yeah, I know
that. Yeah. That should change it to Beef with Reef.
I like that. Beef with Reef. Join the intern, not happy in hearing keep the ship sailing steady as she goes. He is such a draft guy. He wants the draft stuff. When we come back, you can say your spiel that you're texting me to say. Go ahead and say your spiel. And then Sharif can give yours as well. 800-998-1003 if you want to touch on anything that Jake had to say. We'll talk some Saints too as well when we come back. Don't go anywhere. It's the Sports Hangover on ESPN New Orleans.
It's time. time to save big.
During the New Year, New Ride season-ending sale.
The 2019s are here.
And all 2018s must go.
We have new 2018 Outlanders with our season-ending price of just $19,995.
That's right, a new 2018 Outlander that comes with heated seats and Apple CarPlay for just $19,995.
At Barker Mitsubishi, we have a new ride for you.
A new 2018 Eclipse Cross.
That you can drive home for just $19,995.
$19,995 for either a new 2018 Mitsubishi Outlander or Eclipse Cross.
Now, those are some real season-ending savings.
Plus, these new Barker Mitsubishis come with a 10-year, 100,000-mile powertrain warranty.
So come save during a new year, new ride season-ending sale.
Only at Barker Mitsubishi.
Where St. Charles meets West Tuna Boulevard in Puma.
Or shop online at BarkerMitsubishi.com.
18KT015, MSRP 25860, 2865, dealer discount, design factory rebate, item number 18T128, MSRP 24425, 930, dealer discount, 2500 factory rebate, 2CGNL, CGL, detail. Once you see which I am IEV, it's January 2nd, 2019.
If pests are pestering you, call the experts at Terminix. They'll rid your home or business of disease-carrying rats, mice, roaches, spiders, even crazy ants. Call your local pest control experts at Terminix for a free inspection. Terminix also offers home insulation. In La Rose, call 693-3152. That's 693-3152. 693-3152. Terminix. Power over pests.
Are you looking for a delicious meal and a great spot to watch all the games? Deuce McAllister's Old Saint Kitchen and Tap at 132 Royal Street right off Canal is that and a whole lot more. With outstanding Southern Coastal Cuisine dishes such as shrimp and grits, more than 50 craft beers on tap, 15 TVs, craft cocktails, and breakfast, lunch, and dinner, Old Saint is not your average sports bar. Enjoy the 2-for-1 draft happy hour from 3 to 7 weekdays and make your reservations through Open Table or visit online, oldsaint.com.
Terrio, Douay, and Terrio, more than just an insurance company, they're marine insurance specialists. Whether it's fishing boats, cabin cruisers, sailboats, or marine industry, you can trust Terrio, Douay, and Terrio to get you the coverage you need at a price you deserve for your home, your auto, life, fire, and health. They've been taking care of people since 1957. Call Terrio, Douay, and Terrio at 475-5126. Just ask for Lynn Pierce or David O. along Bayou Lafourche in Golden Meadow.
Vision Communications, in partnership with Franks, ESPN 100.3 FM, KLEB 1600 AM, La Rose Civic Center, and the Lafourche Gazette, is currently collecting non-perishable food items until December 31st. Look for our special collection bins at Franks Supermarket, the La Rose Civic Center, and Vision Communications. Even a small donation can go a long way toward feeding the needy right here in Lafourche. Vision Communications is a proud sponsor for our annual food drive because Vision cares.
Got a hot take?
Everybody listen up.
Let's hear it. Call us at 800-998-1003.
Answer that phone.
Or tweet us at ESPN Radio NOLA. Now, back to the Sports Hangover with Gus Kattengill.
Poor Jordan Ender.
He's young.
No, look, here's the thing. The reason I'm going to give him some time here is because I don't think he's the only one thinking this. No. I hear it all the time at the gym. All the time at the gym. Okay, I know you can tell.
Yeah, sleeveless shirt Wednesday.
At ESPN Radio NOLA, if you'd like to chime in here as well. Go ahead. What are you sick of?
Talking to the mic, Jordan.
You just want to throw me in there?
Into the fire.
Okay.
What are you sick of already?
I'm just sick of AD.
Sick of him.
Sick of not trying.
Not trying.
You know, getting hurt every other play.
Every other play.
And then all this constant trade talk. Mm-hmm. So let's, you know what? Let's put it into action.
You're done.
I'm done.
You're done.
Yes.
Trade AD.
Yeah, you better hope the New York Knicks tank out the rest of the way.
Okay.
Get the number one pick overall.
You want Zion.
Draft Zion Williams.
Okay.
Go one for one.
One for
give
one.
Give AD. Mm-hmm. You get Zion. And then you build, because the next year following that, you have crazy amount of money, stupid money.
Mm-hmm.
I think it's $50 million. And then you just
you do have a ton of money in 2021,
and you start paying out for perimeter shooters.
Here's the thing: that's not going to work. AD for Zion, that doesn't work like that. Tell you, salary's got to match.
Well, no, I mean you'd be trading for the draft pick.
Yeah,
I mean
you're throwing in the draft pick
and
it's
some
draft
players.
Day. But here, you can do.
You got to get more back for that. The Anthony Davis.
Well, no, yeah, you're
versus
get,
an unproven
well, you're
number
more.
One pick.
Well, that's my thing. That's my only point with what you're saying.
Go for Kevin Knox.
Okay, well, here's if I'm the Knicks, okay, and now Nolan might be thinking about the Nolan era is known for horrible contracts, stupid money spent, and it didn't win, right? What am I kind of seeing right now? Look, even Milwaukee's kind of, you're throwing in some vets on the side, but I'm building around my youth. You're seeing Sacramento go do that. Boston is the perfect example. They went and got a young coach, traded popular players, right, for a bunch of draft picks, and they built that way, and it just took their time and did that. And you see that team. If I am New York, and I mean this sincerely, and again, I'm not saying I soured, because you said, well, you know what you have in AD, why would New York make the move? Because I made the statement, if I'm the Knicks, would I? Would I trade?
The Knicks, I would.
Would I trade a guy that looks like a man child, right, in Zion? I have Porzingis. At some point, he's going to be healthy. I don't know what he can do, but I can do something. You mentioned Knox, right?
And then, yeah, you also have, that pick next year.
Okay. Well, that's what I'm saying. But if I'm the Knicks, why am I making that move? AD is going to cost me $200 million. Whoever gets AD, he's going to ask for $200 million. I mean, so that's a lot of money that's tied up.
Yeah, but
so if I'm the Knicks,
you have the unicorn.
But I'm looking at AD. The East. What if Kawhi stays out there? Now, is Kawhi leaving Toronto? Even if he does, are the Knicks with AD and Zion beating Boston anytime soon?
I'm telling you, if AD goes to the Knicks,
hear what I'm saying.
Are they beating Boston? Are going to follow? Players will definitely
now,
follow.
Now Kyrie has said maybe he would go to the Knicks after this year in Boston, even though he said he wants to be. My point is, at the end of the day, the guys that are going to follow. You think they're going to go there because they're going to go play at MSG. They're going to play in New York. And I'm like, they better make sure it's going to happen. Because is AD going to go somewhere where they're not? Remember, he just flat out said, money's not important on Friday. Legacy is. Now I'm with Sharif. Make your own darn legacy. Make it to where people want to come here, or you win where you need to win. Be the guy that wins. Jalen Rose had a great soundbite after that game on Friday. You know, he goes, look, he wants to see him be more vocal, be more of a leader, yell less. Like, I said this over the weekend in texting some friends. Like, when's the last time you saw AD get in the face of a teammate?
It's not his personality.
I hear you.
It's not his personality.
I agree. But I think it's part of, like, he's very passive. Like, I don't know. Like, I'm not saying I'm souring on him, but I'm sick and tired of watching people drive the lane and dunk on him. When's the last time you've seen AD hard foul somebody? Get upset at somebody. Get upset that they're blowing a lead. Get upset they're down 15. I'm just, right? Like, I wake up this morning and I look at First Take, and the first thing that I see on the television there is Joel Embiid's ticked off. He didn't get the ball enough in the fourth quarter and in overtime. He's upset. When's the last time, Sharif, you let off your sportscast? Anthony Davis pops off after the game. They don't give me the ball enough. You know, we can't win if I don't touch. When have you ever done that? When have you ever cut a soundbite, Jordan?
Never.
This season, that where AD goes, you know, we can't be losing games like this. I need to do, like, give me the ball more. I don't know why we're committing turnovers. I can't win if I touch it only five times.
I have with Julius Randle, not with Anthony Davis since he's been here. It's just not his personality. Passive.
Which is what I'm getting at. If I'm a team, because look, you can look at it both ways, right? You got to keep him, build around him. The dude's got some talent on the other side. He's got help. They don't have the depth, okay? They're missing a shooter too. But man, I put the Pels roster when they're healthy with a lot of other teams. We've seen them. Jake just brought that up. That win at Toronto, that wasn't a fluke.
That was dominating.
I mean, when they smoked the Rockies, that wasn't a fluke.
Dominating.
I mean, we've seen them win some games this year, and then they lose to the Heat.
You have no excuse to lose.
They lose to the Kings.
It's something internal. There's something in the locker room.
But what I'm getting at, okay, so here's my point. You're like, fine, trade, okay, fine. Now I'm the team on the other side. I know it's easy to say that. Unless I'm Boston, Lakers, like, I'm trying to think of how many teams are going to say, all right, let's do that. Because again, he's going to cost you $200 million. See, the Pels don't mind the $200 million plus tag because they're building rings. You're a franchise. Makes sense. How many franchises realistically are going to say, come here, Let's build around you. 200 mil plus we're sending you assets. That's the problem with this. When everyone says, hey, trade them. That's right. It's easy to say and fill segments on First Take and stuff around the horn. Who has the assets? The Pels aren't going to give them up.
Celtics are the only team.
Okay, that's what I'm getting at. So you have to have assets, and then you have to be darn sure after you give up assets and draft picks that whatever's left with AD wins a championship. Because, like Kawhi in Toronto, right, or Paul George, who decides to say, most of these guys, if they're going to go AD, I mean, he just said it on Friday, legacy's about championships and rings, not money. Okay, so you make that trade. That guy can be a free agent in 2 years unless he signs an extension with you. That's what I'm saying. It's like, there's not many teams that are willing to take that risk. I'm the Knicks? No way. Judging on the past I've had, I'm not doing it.
But I want to take your take on what you would get for AD. What do you want in return?
What do you want in return? Perfect. Let's chat about it. Sports Hangover continues next. Hour three will focus a ton on the Saints and NFL. Let's look at some matchups. Let's be honest, for real, okay? Everyone's saying Seattle's the team that can come into the dome and beat them. Who do you fear the most? If they're concern, fear, whatever word you want to use. Who do you... Look, it's not going to be easy. I think the divisional and NFC championship game, if the Saints get there, they're it's going to be like Sunday. It's going to be a close game. I honestly believe that.
I do. I'm with you.
Sports Hangover continues next on ESPN New Orleans.
What's up, New Orleans? It's Matt Moscona inviting you to join me weekdays from 3 until 6 p.m. for After Further Review. I make you one promise. If you're talking about it, we're talking about it weekdays on After Further Review. Saints, Tigers, Pelicans, we got it all covered weekdays from 3 until 6 p.m. So tune us in and tell a friend. It's After Further Review, weekday afternoons from 3 until 6 on 100.3 ESPN New Orleans.
Hey, travelers. Do you want to save money on your next flight? Then pick up the phone and call. That's right, call. Because the best prices are not online. They're with SmartFares. See, SmartFares has special deals with the airlines. When they have unsold seats, they use SmartFares to fill them. So you get airline tickets at ridiculously low prices. Our prices are too low to publish online. With the extra money you'll save, you can book another trip or treat yourself to dinner or shopping. So stop searching all of those travel sites to find the lowest price on your next flight. Let one of our SmartFares expert travel agents find ridiculously low prices for you. Call SmartFares today and get the best price on your next flight. Guaranteed. Also, save up to 50% off business and first class tickets.
800-989-0841. 800-989-0841. 800-989-0841. That's 800-989-0841.
Individuals and businesses with tax problems, listen carefully. Do you feel like you're losing control of your finances? If you owe over $10,000 in back taxes or have unfiled tax returns, we can help you take back control. The IRS is the largest and most aggressive collection agency in the world, and they can seize your bank accounts, garnish your paycheck, close your business, and file criminal charges. Take control of your tax problem now by calling the experts at U.S. Tax Shield and take advantage of the Fresh Start program and new laws that may allow us to negotiate a settlement for the lowest amount possible. Our team of tax attorneys and enrolled agents can stop collections and get you protected so you can take control of your financial future. U.S. Tax Shield offers a price protection guaranteed quote to get you protected today. U.S. Tax Shield is A-plus rated with the Better Business Bureau, so call now. 800-687-5192. That's 800-687-5192. U.S. Tax Shield. 800-687-5192.
Oh, big talker, ain't you?
A man that likes to talk.
Now, back to the Sports Hangover with Gus Kattengill on ESPN 100.3 FM and ESPN 1003.com.
Hi, Sharif asked us going into the break. Sharif Ishak, WDSU Sports, likes to hang out.
On my vacation.
Why not?
I gotta stay. I can't get rusty.
Who do you like? What do you want? Let's say, fine, okay.
You want to go through a bunch of teams?
I'm just saying, okay, fine. Let's just see. If I'm a handful of teams and the Pels at the All-Star break are five games or more below 500, you know what? The worst that can happen is Dell Demps hangs up on me. So I'm calling. But if I'm Dell, what would it take? Like, what do you want in return? I mean, you have to at least think about it if the phone call maybe does happen or not.
Well, first.
So I would have to think about it, right? Like, in terms of what is it that I actually would say yes to? Or am I no at all cost? Am I no at all cost? Or am I, well, hold on. What's the hold on? What would it take?
Are we doing this trade in the summer to see if he turns down the Supermax extension?
Well, that's the
first?
Problem. Okay, so, well, that's step one. That's what I'm saying. So what would it take? Is step one, we offer the max and he says no.
Okay. Then we go from
is
there.
Is that step one?
That's step one.
Okay, so I'm not even thinking
during,
about this.
Not during the season.
Until the max.
Yes.
I can offer it.
He says no. All right.
Okay. And I call him up. I call his agent. We would like to offer you the max.
No,
do
thank you,
you. Do you want a yes immediately, or do you want a, or are you okay? What if he says, well, let me think about it? You know what I'm getting at? Because to me, it's almost like when you propose, it better be a yes or a no. You know what I'm saying? Like, to me, if I'm like, well, hold on, can I get back to you? Yeah, could you imagine you get on the knee and you get, let me get back to you?
Well, then you close that trade talk because you have the upper hand.
Okay, but
what
I'm saying is, I mean, if you ever get on the knee and you go, will you marry me? And you get, well, let me get back to you. That's a no. I mean, right? I mean, yeah. I would take that a no. So what I'm saying is when Dell Demps does that formal official offer, if it's not a yes, do you wait?
No.
In terms of what if he goes, well, let me get back to you. Let me think about
my
it.
My opinion? Yeah. No.
No.
You open up the trade talks. My first.
I'm with you.
The first team.
If that thing is it, yes, we'd love to immediately. But what if it's a, well, what else are we doing to win?
Can I say that certain GM will not be making that trade, to be honest with you? I don't think they're going to let Dell Demps be the guy to trade him.
So you think if
it tanks out this season,
if he says
they don't make the playoffs,
no thank you on the Supermax, I will play out this year or trade me, then the team will then find somebody else to make that move?
I think they do.
So you're going to go hire a GM to make that move? I mean, because we're talking about 2-3 weeks here. Because to Jordan's point, if I'm going to do that, well, then draft night, right?
It has to be draft night.
Will be when I make some moves here.
I'm basing this off of this season doesn't go well.
Okay.
And he says no or maybe to the Supermax, which is a no if you say maybe. Let me see what you do.
Right.
That's a no to me in my book.
So if he says, let me play out the next year.
No.
No.
Nope, because we're not going to get stiffed.
We're
not going to get have you go off
to L.A.
Well,
first and foremost, I don't want to go through what I'm going through this year.
Yeah.
Because it's what? December 26th, and we're talking about, do we trade him? I'm not doing this anymore.
Nope.
You're either in or you're not. If you're not, well, then what's the direction we go in?
You're not going to the Lakers. We're not trading you there. Sorry, we're not letting LeBron run the league. We're not letting Clutch Sports run the league so we can get nothing in return.
Okay.
You trade at a conference.
Yeah. Hey, Danny Ainge. We want Jason Tatum. You have to return us. Of course, you have to return another contract. Maybe
right.
Gordon Hayward and a pick or another player.
Here's the problem with that. Again, because I asked, what would it take?
You have to get at least Jason Tatum.
My problem with a lot of that is if you're grabbing those players that are in a position to win, do they want to be a part of? You know, you got to get at that. You also have to risk the malcontent players that you're bringing back. Like, they're probably not going to be happy they're coming here.
That's business, though.
No, I hear you, but that's the whole problem with all of this. It's, you know, on one end, it's trade them, give me some assets and picks. Awesome. Are those players that are solid starters and all, are they going to be happy they're leaving a situation that can win a championship? No.
Were the Pelicans happy when Chris Paul went to L.A. and they got nothing in return?
No, I hear you.
That's not happening again.
I hear you.
I promise you, that's not happening to this franchise again.
But you also remember Al Farouq Aminu and Eric Gordon. Miserable here. Didn't like it. So that's the problem when you trade. I clearly remember covering that team. You do too.
Yeah.
Right? That guy couldn't wait to get out of here, Eric Gordon.
Yeah.
Hated it. And yet, unfortunately, he was the key piece in that trade. So that's the problem. You bring in Porzingis. Do you think he wants to leave New York for New Orleans?
I mean, he's not going to be the number one guy anymore. It's going to be AD. How is he going to like that?
Because he can win.
Yeah.
But what I'm getting at, it's easy to say, well, hey, trade him here. Man, in today's NBA, you better be darn sure you're bringing some players that want to that you don't want to play with. If not, you're in trouble. It's just a tough situation because I don't think you can really win.
You know, if it were Jason Tatum, I don't think he would be like that. I think he would play hard. He plays hard. Well, I think he's one of those good young players.
What you have to do is you bring that person in, or when you talk to him and say, look, you're the centerpiece now. You're the franchise. You're the one on the billboards. You're the ones we're building around. You're the center of the picture. That's you. You're the guy.
You would still have Drew Holiday, and then you could sign him.
I like Randall. And I get Nico as well. No, look, they got some pieces. That's what I'm saying. The argument that AD doesn't have any help is invalid this year. Now they don't have the depth. Sometimes they don't play as well as they're capable of, but he has help. He has guys that can play.
To your point, you have to sell the culture.
Okay, well, what is your culture here?
You say, look at the Saints. Right? If you win, this is what the fan base will be like.
I agree.
Well, the Chapa style.
Okay, but to Sharice's point, you have an organization that hasn't been doing that. It's run by a team I think a lot of fans feel it's just okay, we'll get to you later. I've been saying this. You want the Pels to succeed. Gale needs to hire somebody in charge of basketball operations. Underneath basketball operations is the general manager, the head coach, the scouting, and it needs to be given exactly the same as the Saints. The same money that you send for scouting, the same money needs to go to the Pelicans. Like, it has to be identical.
Best thing going for the Pelicans right now?
The Saints are winning.
Yep.
Sports Hangover continues next. When we do, we will focus on the Saints. The three players that you would sit. We'll have some fun with that next. Sports Hangover on ESPN New Orleans. It's not-